a $100 sign-up bonus for a 2% card, fee-free 5X, and an easy path, for some, to the Southwest Companion Pass. All this and more on today's Milanomics Squared podcast.
Hello, everyone. I'm Sam Simon.
And I'm Robert Dwyer.
And this is the Milanomics Square podcast, no annual fee edition.
If you're not subscribed to the full Milanomics Squared podcast, you're missing out on a deeper dive into topics like these.
Getting right into it here. Last week we were, I would say, cautiously optimistic that Lemony was paying out our community cash back after that post that we put up about a week and a half ago. Unfortunately, it seems like this has taken a turn for the worse, or at least a turn for the worse in the short term. I went ahead and put in for cashing out my community cash back. Right away, actually, after it posted, and I was met with an email saying that due to improvements in their process, the cash out process might take 1 to 2 weeks, which does not sound like an improvement to me. And my gut tells me that they just don't have enough money to pay everybody right now, or they're really scrutinizing these transactions. Something maybe happened where people put together a very lucrative community on their own to ensure that they were making as much money as possible, or something that they want to try and wiggle out of. So unfortunately, it looks like we're back wondering, are they paying us? Which seems to be like a soap opera here for me, Robert. It's like, will they? Oh, yes, they will. No. Then all of a sudden, there's no money. And no, it's not coming for 1 to 2 weeks. And so it jumps back and forth from there's no money at all in your account, we don't know how to fix this, to, hey, look, they fixed it. Wow, great. And then now we're back down to, well, what are we waiting? A couple weeks, I guess, to find out. Did you have a similar experience?
I did. I got the same email. They said a week or two, due to those great system improvements they put in place that make payouts hold up for a week or two. I mean, this is instantaneous with other similar portals. So this really is a red flag, if not maybe a yellow. But hopefully they'll pay us out. And I think we'll kind of wean ourselves off of using Lemony. It just seems to be an overly complicated, not very lucrative, the way they have it rigged up these days, shopping portal. And there are better options out there. So along to the next item, which is maybe a little bit of news you can use. Amazon has a 30 off $60 purchase for one membership reward point. This is where having a stable of membership rewards cards, thank you cards, and Chase Ultimate Rewards card is handy because you're always ready to jump on these promos that seem to keep coming around. This one is targeted, but it seems to be very broadly targeted. I haven't heard it from anyone that wasn't targeted for this one. It works for third-party gift cards. So, for example, you could buy a gas gift card or a Whole Foods gift card. You can't buy an Amazon gift card. It needs to be for a third party, but you can get essentially half off. Just be careful when you're clicking through it, and we'll include a link in the show notes to Doctor of Credit's post on how to make it work, but you should be able to use just one Amex membership reward point to get $30 off your purchase.
That's a great deal, and it seems to be still alive. So give it a shot. Moving on, we've got a $100 sign-up bonus. I know normally we wouldn't cover such a small sign-up bonus on the blog or on this podcast, but it's for a great card. It's for the Fidelity 2% cashback card. Well, I think it's a great card. Robert, what's your take on the card?
I'm not a huge fan of it. 2% cashback has had a lot of places. This one has a bit of a nuisance for me with kind of the forced rigmarole through a Fidelity account. So I'm not crazy about the card, but there is something to, using the things that we do to earn points and miles to maybe kind of highly suggest that, passively you are investing more with it, but it can be a straight 2% card. It's just not my favorite in the bunch, but it is nice to get a $100 sign-up bonus for a card that earns 2%. I don't think we can match that anywhere else perpetually with a no annual fee card.
Not with a no annual fee card that I know of, no. And the card actually can bump up above 2% with some of those targeted offers that they'll send you on your email. So it's definitely worth having at least one of these. It's a Visa, so that's kind of unique because the double cash, which I love, is a MasterCard. So then you have the MasterCard and the Visa and maybe extra capacity at 2%. Always a good card to have. Robert, you want to take the next one?
Yes, ever faithful Staples is out with another fee-free $200 Visa gift card promo. This runs from the 13th of January to the 19th of January. Said to be one discount per person, but past promotions have allowed multiple, depending on the cashier that you bump into. So a nice way to earn some nice fee-free gift cards if you happen to have a gift card that heavily rewards office supply store spend. Runs through the 19th.
I guess then let's just get into this main kind of main topic here for the free show, which is this Chase. All of the Southwest cards from Chase is to sign up and spend $4,000 and you get 30,000 rapid reward points, which ordinarily that would not be an offer that we'd talk about at all here. But the kicker that they've included is you get a companion pass, a time limited companion pass that's only good through 2019. Also, I think it's important to note that the annual fee is not waived the first year on these cards. I wanted to bring this up here to kind of bring our lively deal or not a deal discussion back. We've done this a few times in Shop Talk posts, but I don't believe we've ever done it on a podcast here. So, Robert, deal or not a deal? Chase Southwest cards with the 30,000 point offer and the companion pass.
Not a deal for me. But it could be a deal for somebody else. If I think about who it might be a deal for, it would be someone who is kind of new to the game and they're under Chase's famous 5/24 rule. No more than 5 cards across all banks the past 24 months. That's the first qualifier. The next would be that you live in near a hub that serves Southwest heavily. You need to make sure that you're going to have a lot of flights or even the potential to have a lot of flights in the coming year. You need to have a companion situation to make it worth much. And you need to have a lot of trips that you're planning in the coming year that this would be the, I think, best way to get there. If you're having to bend your life around flying Southwest to take advantage of this, it's not such a great deal. It would sweeten it a bit if you had ultimate rewards and the ability to generate ultimate rewards, because then you can use those ultimate rewards kind of like with Uplift because you're getting the second ticket for free. So you need to travel a lot, where Southwest flies, where's the best situation. I think that could define a certain audience. You know, I listen to a lot of Disney blogs, and a lot of people, they love the benefit of the companion pass because they're between in two-player mode, husband and wife. They have, four people in the family. They go down to Disney a lot. It's the best direct option. And if you can get half off of those flights, it's a fantastic option. But for me, if I really honestly look at my travel schedule for this coming year, probably going to take, 4 to 6 trips this year. And the best that Southwest would serve those flights is 0. It is not, I probably won't fly Southwest once this year. And if I wanted to fly Southwest, I'd really have to shape my life around it. And this only lasts for a year. And you probably, have plans for trips already for maybe, depending on how you operate, the next few months. So you're looking at really the second half of the year. And I just don't think you're going to get a lot of value out of it as much as you think you would. Like, oh, half off flights, free tickets. I don't think it's that good of a deal. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. You bring up great points. The first of those being that is Southwest the best option? Or rather that you mentioned that Southwest has to be the best option. And I think that the companion pass is tricky because it entices you to look nowhere else. You go, I've got the companion pass, whatever the price is, I get one ticket for free. And a lot of times I look at Southwest and they're 40% more, 50% more sometimes than the next best option as far as price. And so let's say you only have one companion pass, but you have 4 people in your family, you're paying 3 full fares and getting one free. And if that fare is, 20% more even or 30% more than the next available fare, you're really not flying for free. You can make an argument that, it's not always that way, but in my situation, I'm just like you, Robert. I would use this twice maybe. And for very, very short flights, we'll fly Southwest to San Francisco, which is like, $69 each way or something like that. So the value, I think that it's enticing to some people, but the value's not there, especially when, like you mentioned, you're giving up a 5/24 slot for this card. So it's really, I think you hit the nail on the head of who this is really for. It's those part-time or very, somewhat credit card appliers who, I've got some travel planned for the fall or for summer and I want to get a free flight. And they don't, they don't want to get involved in any of what we do. So it's a very simple card for them and they can just get it and get their companion pass for the rest of this year. And then next year they can deal with next year's flights. And it's very, they kind of deal with things as they come. So that's the kind of person I think that this is great for. When they're giving out this companion pass with a time deadline or with a deadline of 12/31 of this year, I think you're guaranteed you're not going to see a Hawaii flight from Southwest this year. I don't know. I would almost like to make a bet on that with someone.
Is there a gambling house that will take that bet?
If there is, it's got to be in England, right? Because all the wild lines come from England, right?
Well, I just, you know, so if somebody's listening to this and they heard about this offer and we're saying it's not a deal, except for a very small segment of the population, you know, if you're going to say no to something, you need to propose an alternative. What would that alternative be, right? What would we say if somebody, you know, they fly a lot domestically, Southwest might be the best option. I mean, I'm looking at, you know, what you could do with bank points if you signed up for a few cards, or if you signed up for a Capital One, and if you signed up for a Barclay card, and if you signed up for some Amex card and some Ultimate Rewards cards. I think that stable of points that you'd have would fund not just, you know, half off your airfare, but potentially all of your airfare, and you'd be able to fund things when you got to your destination, like a hotel stay with Chase Ultimate Rewards or park tickets with a Capital One Venture or things like that. So, you know, if you're feeling like you're being blocked from doing what you want to do on vacation because a companion pass and half off airfare would get you there, I'm thinking, you know, if you did the things that we talk about here in the podcast and on the blog, you could be a lot better off than half off airfare.
I think you're right there too, Robert, but it does mean you're investing some more time and energy. One of the biggest surprises for me when I talk to people about their travel plans and the things that they're going to be doing over the next 6 months, let's say, they have no idea. I mean, I don't know if you meet people like this too, Robert, but it's like, so you guys have any trips planned? And they'll go, no. Yeah. And then maybe they'll say, well, we're looking for something for next month. And they'll go, next month? I'm dealing with next year already. Like,
well, that's a case where just somebody doesn't travel a lot. And there are people, believe it or not, that just don't travel. I mean, and they'll maybe take one.
I can't believe it.
They're probably not listening to the podcast, but really, right? You meet people that say that, no, I'm just not in that travel. I'd rather buy, you know, stuff off Amazon with my points. I don't care what value I get out of them. You know, if we're going to take a trip, it's one driving trip a year or something like that. And if they think that maybe this companion pass would be a great deal because it affords them, you know, half off of, you know, one free ticket for one trip that they're going to take, that's a terrible value. You're looking at, you know, $200 or $300 or something like that. That's not a deal at all.
Well, then what would we offer instead specifically, I guess? What would you say, Robert?
I would start elsewhere.
I would recommend. Go ahead.
I would start elsewhere in the Chase portfolio, right? I would get a Chase Sapphire Preferred. I'd get a Barclay Arrival. I'd get a Capital One Venture, and then I'd start exploring the Amex portfolio. Right.
Or, that Arrival is a great card right now, isn't it?
They're all so straightforward, right? You know, just purchase something and erase it. You know, I have had family members tell me literally the word hate and Chase and Amex so many times when it comes to the complexity of the redemption side of things.
Yeah.
And if you look at the Barclay Arrival or the Capital One Venture, you are absolved of all that. You charge travel and you erase it. And you probably, I don't hear people saying that they hate those banks a lot. So I would go for something more straightforward than that, and not so restricted to just Southwest airfare, just kind of, you know, free travel that you get for signing up for a credit card. Doesn't get much better than that.
I think Chase has some very solid business cards too, but if you're in the market for this card with a Southwest companion pass, you're probably not ready to step up to business cards. But if you are, I think that those represent the best cards from Chase right now, at least for forward earning. And actually for bonuses, the bonuses on them are great too. So anything else you want to say about that one, Robert?
No, if anyone has any questions about, you know, what we would recommend for their situation, feel free to reach out and we could write a post about it, or we could give, you know, tailored information. But I think it's very hard for somebody, but just not probably 90% of the population.
Right. And like you said, not anybody that's probably listening to this podcast.
Unfortunately. So,
we know how to pick topics, huh?
For a more in-depth look at these topics and more, visit us at patreon.com/Mileonomics. There you'll get a special link to listen to additional content right in your mobile podcast app or on your computer, where we speak more freely about the topics we discussed today and more.
And as always, you can reach us on Twitter. I'm @Mileonomics and Robert is @Robert Dwyer. We'd love to hear from you. Until then, we'll see you on the site.